Welcome to the Christian Business Concepts with your host, Harold Milby. Christian Business Concepts is dedicated to guiding companies and business owners in becoming effective, efficient, and successful through God's Word and godly principles. Now, here's your host, Harold Milby.
Thanks for the introduction, Kelly, and welcome everyone to today's Christian Business Concepts podcast. I'm excited that you've downloaded today's podcast and hope that it enlightens you, that it encourages you, and empowers you for your life today. I don't take it for granted, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen to today's podcast. So let's just kind of jump right in. You know, we're living today in very strenuous times as Christians and as believers. You know, it seems like that everywhere we turn and everywhere we look, we can see that our Christianity is being attacked. You know, we're living in a time where the buzzword is woke, and it's used to mean that we really can't do anything that might offend others, as well as the fact that that excludes Christianity. You know, it really, it goes even farther than that. I mean, you know, people try to tell us that we do not have the right to share our faith and our beliefs. You know, Christians and Christianity is offensive, and it's not, especially for our work environment, our society of work, if you will. You know, let me share an event that happened to one of my relatives recently that causes me today to discuss this subject in today's podcast. This relative had shared with me how someone at work came up to them and asked them what was so different about them. So he saw that as an opportunity to share his faith. And, you know, this person said, you know, you always seem to be positive no matter the situation, and you're happy, and you seem like you have purpose in life. And they wanted to know what it was that caused him to have such a positive outlook on life. And he just kind of gave her a simple answer, but he said, you know, he was a Christian, and that was why. And then this person began to ask him to please share more details. And so, you know, just as they ask, you know, he began to share his born-again experience. He didn't try to belittle her, to threaten her, or proselytize her in any way. He just thought he had an opportunity to share. So this person walked away without as much as one clue that she was offended, went to her boss and his to make a formal complaint. His boss came in and reprimanded him and told him he was not allowed to share his faith at work and could face termination if he did so again. And so today, I use that story to bring up the whole subject for today. But I want to talk about what those limits are in the workplace by law. What are the legal limits of what we can say as a Christian or as a Christian business owner? What can be discussed? What can be worn or demonstrated in the workplace? So before we get to the legal challenges and the legal limits, I want to discuss the reason that I believe that Christian business is going to be the conduit that God uses to bring forth a powerful revival in this nation. There was actually a nationwide revival that started in the 1930s, and it started in a couple of businesses on Wall Street in New York City. And it spread throughout the country. And I believe that Christian businesses have a powerful opportunity to see people come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when you look in both the New Testament and the Old Testament scripture, you're going to find that it speaks a lot about people and their households. Now, keep in mind that most people in scripture were some kind of a business person. You know, they were either selling cattle, or they were selling sheep, or they breeded camels, or maybe they were farmers. But most people were some type of a business person. And most people who worked for them were considered a part of their household. So let's take a look at Genesis chapter 14 and verse 14 through 16. It said, when Abram heard that his brother was taken captive, he armed his train servants born in his own house, 318, and pursued them unto Dan. And he divided himself against them, he and his servants, by night, and smote them, and pursued them unto Hobah, which is on the left hand of Damascus. And he brought back all the goods, and also brought again his brother Lot, and his goods, and the women also, and the people. Now, this is before Abraham had Isaac and Ishmael. And yet, he had a household. So at this point, other than Sarai, he had no family. But yet his household had 318 that were trained. They were trained in battle. They were trained, and I encourage you to go read this whole chapter. But these people were trained. And he went after and retrieved the hostages that were taken, including Lot's family. At that time. And so these were a part of his household. His employees were a part of his household. Now let's go into the New Testament and let's look at Acts chapter 18 and verse 8. It says, and Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord with all of his house, and many of the Corinthians hearing believed and were baptized. But notice it says that they believed on the Lord with all his house. Well, that doesn't mean his family. That means his whole house. Anybody that worked for him, anybody that was a slave, it says, and his house, all his house. Now, to stop and think about the incredible influence that people had back then over their employees. And so his entire house believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 16 and verse 32 through 34, it says, and they spake unto him the word of the Lord and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their stripes and was baptized, he and all of his, straight away. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. So also, these people were in the household. They weren't just merely family members. They also included servants and workers. These were modern-day employees. He commanded such respect with them that they all followed his lead. And if they looked at him and said, well, if he accepts Christ as Lord, then that means we should do the same. And so they accepted Christ as Lord as well. So our society today, our society has caused people and business to be afraid to share their faith and to live their salvation in front of people. Work with these people, but yet, you know, our society makes them afraid to even speak up. They're also afraid because of maybe what work would do to them, maybe what the owners would do to them if they spoke up, like my relative, where that they threatened him with his job if he shared his faith again. You know, when Chick-fil-A, many of you remember, took a stand on gay marriage, the cancel culture said people should boycott Chick-fil-A, and they really thought they'd put them out of business. There was even an airport who had a written contract with them to bring a Chick-fil-A into the airport, and they canceled that contract. And yet, even though they tried to do this, and Chick-fil-A took that chance to stand up for something, Chick-fil-A had more support and consequently more business than they'd ever had before. You know, Hobby Lobby, Interstate Battery, Tyson Foods, Tom's, In-N-Out Burgers are just a few of the literal thousands of companies who try to run their businesses on biblical and godly principles and who live their faith out loud. So what are we dealing with here? The simple fact of the matter is that some Christian business owners and employees are afraid to declare that they are a quote-unquote Christian because they could be sued for religious discrimination. So let's look at the facts of law to dispel these fears because, you know, that's what we're going to deal with here. We're going to deal with facts. And where does the terminology religious discrimination even come from, and what does it mean legally? And so Title VII of the 1964 Civil Rights Act prohibits employers with 15 or more employees from discriminating on the basis of religion. Now, that is a federal crime to do that. It is one that receives great punishment. There have been many lawsuits and many others that have been afraid to sue. But that is part of Title VII of the Civil Rights Act. And now, even though that's a federal law, there are some states who have come back behind that. Oregon is one that comes to mind. And they have lowered that limit from 15 employees to one. So even if you just had one employee, you were not going to be able to discriminate on the basis of religion. Now, furthermore, a company of that size must, and this is what the law says, reasonably accommodate an employee's religious belief or practice so long as that accommodation does not present an undue hardship on the employer's business. Now, I'm quoting from this Civil Rights Act. Now, you know, here's the problem that we've seen. Is that businesses are willing to accommodate about everything except Christianity. And we have accepted it, folks. We've accepted it for years, but I believe it's time for us to stand up and let the law work for us. Because though Title VII protects the religious right of the employees, it also outlines what is allowed by the business. In its very definition of what can't be done, it gives you the opportunity to see what can be done. So that's what we don't hear about very often, and that's what we want to talk to you about today here in a moment. But under Title VII, it's unlawful to discriminate. It's unlawful for a business to discriminate in its, number one, hiring and firing. So you cannot hire or fire anybody based upon religion and what they believe. Now, here is the one thing that you have to understand. Now churches and other Christian organizations are exempt from that. But for most businesses, you can't hire or fire based on somebody's religious background or religious belief. You can't compensate or assign a classification of workers based on religion. You can't transfer somebody. You can't promote or demote or lay off or recall based upon a person's religious views. You can't advertise a job based upon a religious view. You can't do testing based upon a religious view. You cannot limit certain types of religious believers in the use of employee facilities or training and apprenticeship programs or other terms and conditions of employment. They can't be written just to favor or not to favor certain religious groups. Employers are not allowed to harass. Now, this, again, is according to Title VII in this statute. An employer is not allowed to harass an employee because of religion, such as offensive remarks about a person's religious beliefs or practices. So you can't make fun of them. You know, you can't harass them. You also cannot refuse or fail to make reasonable adjustments to workplace policies or practices that allow workers to observe their sincerely held religious beliefs. Now, that is a powerful part of Title VII. They cannot refuse or fail to make reasonable adjustments to workplace policies or practices that allow workers to observe their sincerely held religious beliefs. Employers cannot make employment decisions based on religion, and they certainly are not allowed to deny job opportunities because of religious beliefs. Now, these limitations give us the parameters and the limitations as Christian business owners for what we can't do, but because of them laying this out, it also gives us an idea of what we can do. So let's take a look at some of the ways that we can include God in our businesses or as an employee, how that we can live our faith out loud. First, it's not against the law to develop a culture around your Christian beliefs. You're also allowed to tell your employees that you are a Christian and that you try to operate your business with godly principles. Now, you can't tell them that they have to believe the same thing you do, but you have, you know, I would encourage every employer that when he interviews for some for a position, I would encourage you to say, I'm a born-again believer. I run my business based on Christian principles. I want you to know that up front. And though I am not allowed to force you to into any certain belief, you may hear from time to time in this business about the God that I serve. And that's perfectly legal. There's nothing they can do about that except try to put fear, you know, in your life. You know, in John 17, Jesus tries to teach us that we are in this world, but not of this world. So we have to use the tools and instruments that the world has, which is this Title VII. In Luke 16 and 9, it says, "And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that you may receive they may receive you into everlasting habitations." He's talking about the world system here, the word mammon. It's the world system. He said, make yourselves friends of the world system of unrighteousness, that when you fail, that you may receive, or that they may receive you into everlasting habitations. We are to learn from the business world ways. We are to learn from that. We are in this world. We're not of this world. I understand it. You know, work and toil is mentioned over 480 times in the Bible. Work and toil. In Psalms 128 and 2, it says, "For thou shalt eat the labor of thy hands, happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee." So God says, look, you should be blessed by your labor. So all I'm saying is that your work, your business, and your religious life are not three different separate things. They're the same. They're part of the same, and they should be. Scripture shows us that strong relationship and influence God's people, most of which were business owners, had over the people that worked for them. This is why I believe that there is a revival coming through the realm of Christian business. Now, what do you have a right to? Well, you have a right to have Bible studies in your business as long as no one is forced to go or is discriminated against if they don't. You have a right to have Bible studies in your business. You can have open meetings with prayer as long as you let them know it's okay for them to not participate. You know, this past Thanksgiving, I wanted to say prayer over the meal in our factory, because we had all the factory come together for a meal. And I had someone there in management that said, I don't think you can do that. And I said, I absolutely can, as long as I give a disclaimer that nobody has to participate in that prayer. But I fully well can and did. And most employees participated. So you have to understand that's your right. As an employee or an employer, you can pray for people as long as you abide by their wishes if they don't want you to. So I think that we miss that opportunity as well. People in the business that I manage, they know that I believe in prayer. Most people know that I come in early in the mornings and spend time in prayer in the offices. They know that. But I don't ask them to come and pray. They just know that I do. And I have decided, actually, recently, that I'm going to start handing out 3x5 cards to all the employees and just quietly say, look, if you have anything you want me to pray for each week, I'm going to give you a card. You write it down, and I will pray for you this week. There's nothing wrong with that. And if they say, I'd rather you not, then I don't, and that's the end of it. But you know, most people, you know, I think they're smart enough to know that you don't turn down somebody praying for you. You don't have to play down or hide your faith. You know, you don't have to do that. You can share your testimony. You know, again, what you can't do is say, but you're a heathen or you're going to hell or, you know, you can't harass people, but you can share your testimony. You can wear religious symbols as long as your company does not have a formal dress policy and as long as it does not discriminate against you or anyone else, then you have a right to wear religious symbols. You have a right to invite employees to church. You can invite employees. You can invite your friends that are in that business. You can invite them to church. There's nothing that says that you can't. It's up to them whether they come. Now, if they don't come, you can't fire somebody or demote them or anything like that. You can't do that, but you can certainly invite them. And why would we want to do that? That goes against everything that we believe in. And you also have the right to ask for prayer requests, as I mentioned. You know, Forever 21, it's that trendy clothing and kind of accessory store. You know, if you look on the bottom of all their shopping bags, it says John 3:16. You know, just one of those small ways that they're trying to live their faith. At Carl Jr.'s, all their meetings begin with prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance. I'm sure there's a lot of employees who don't participate, but that does not prohibit them from doing so, and they're protected by Title VII. Now, the question is, how far are you willing to go? Will you be outspoken, or are you going to be subtle? Will it be hidden in your core values of your business, or will it be spoken and written for everybody to see in the business? Are you worried that maybe, you know, you're going to offend somebody? Well, Title VII does not protect people from being offended because you share your faith. You know, it doesn't protect people from being offended. And let's just be honest, being offended is very objective. You know, some people get offended at the slightest thing, and other people, it takes a lot to offend them. So that's a very objective thing anyway, but Title VII doesn't protect people from being offended just because you shared your faith or you prayed or you wore a Christian t-shirt or anything like that. You know, as a Christian business owner or maybe a Christian manager or a Christian employee, you have more rights. You have more rights than what you have been led to believe. We all need to begin to stand up and live our faith out loud. Now, unfortunately, many employers do not know our religious freedom rights, and they're quick to not only infringe upon those rights, but even try to strike fear in our hearts and in the hearts of those who do not comply with their way of thinking. Now, let's go back to my friend or my relative. Now, you know, in his situation, he could have said, you know what, I'm going to do and stand up for my Christian beliefs. I have that right according to law. And they could have fired him. Are you willing to go that far? Now, some of you that are listening to this podcast are going to say, yeah, I'm going to be willing to go this far. And then if they violate my rights, I'm going to use the law and I'm going to sue them. Now, I'm not so sure that God doesn't see this coming too, and all the monies that happen from the lawsuits that God uses in his, you know, in the kingdom of God to see more people saved, to see the hungry fed. You know, I'm not so sure that that won't be a part of this too as people begin to stand up and say, I no longer will be oppressed and suppressed and pushed down and saying, because I'm a Christian, everybody else can say what they want to about their faith, but I can't because I'm a Christian. It's time for these employers and employees alike to stand up for their religious rights and live out their faith. Acts 13 and 27 says, for so hath the Lord commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth. Get that. The Lord has commanded us to be that light, not just at home, not just at the grocery store, on our jobs, in our businesses. We are to be the light of the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation, to lead them to salvation, for the ends of the earth to accept salvation in Christ Jesus. Folks, that's what we've got to do in our businesses today. Father, I thank you for those who've downloaded and listened to today's broadcast or podcast. I pray today, God, that they'll rise up and be that light that shines brighter and brighter. And Lord, that they would bring salvation to their workplace and to the people that they work with. Lord, protect them from harassments. Protect them from lawsuits. Protect them from punishment and threats, Lord. And God, I give you glory and honor for it. In the name of Jesus, amen. Thanks again for listening to today's Christian Business Concepts podcast, and be sure to share this podcast with others and write a review if it's been a blessing to you. Now, until next time, remember, Jesus is Lord, and He wants you blessed.
Thank you for tuning into this week's Christian Business Concepts podcast. Go to ChristianBusinessConcepts.com for more information and resources. Be sure to check out other podcasts that will help you take your business and your personal life to a whole new level of success.